Today's reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Well, thank you to Carolyn and Tom for sharing that reading with us. It's an amazing reading, and it's always a privilege to be able to open up God's Word with you today and to really see what is God saying to me, to us, to the church, to our community at this particular time. My name's Tim, and I'm privileged to be one of the leaders of the church, and thank you for joining us, and I add my welcome to Tom's earlier today. We're on week two of our big church read for this Lent season. If you weren't able to join us last week, then please do catch up. We're reading this really helpful book by John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I read it earlier before this season started, and what a really helpful book that provokes conversation and discussion and challenge to us in this particular time in our society, in our world. So if you missed last week, please do catch up. It's all available on YouTube. Tom opened up the problem of hurry for us in a brilliant way, a really helpful way, with a great fresh perspective. And I just want to encourage you to catch up with that if you can. And we also met on Tuesday night to continue the conversation, because, you know, Sundays is just the beginning of a conversation. We're just opening up some thoughts to see what God has to say. So if you didn't join us last Tuesday, do join us this Tuesday as we continue this conversation through this book. If you're not part of our regular mailing list, then please do drop us a line, inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. We'll send you out the joining details for Tuesday evening at 7:30 on Zoom, and you can be part of what was last week a really helpful conversation. Lots of different perspectives from different age groups, from different stages in life. But together, we're going to learn together, and hopefully together we'll grow closer to who Jesus is and what God desires in our lives. So week two, we're looking at the solution to the problem. It's a very grand hope in a short time today, and I can't pretend to give you the whole solution, but I hope that what I have to share with you today will help you just to begin to wrestle with some of these issues. I don't know if you joined us last Sunday, whether you've noticed the hurry that is going on in your life already. I certainly have, and I kept saying to Kerry, my wife, slow down, slow down, stop doing that. And she kept saying the same to me as well, because I think we have to be honest that we do hurry at certain times in our lives, that we can go a little bit slower. And because of that, we do need to find a solution, whatever age, whatever stage in life, whether we're working, whether we're not working, whether we've got kids, whether we haven't got kids, whether we live in a family or whether we're on our own. You know, we could be sure that hurry damages the soul. I hope that you've become aware of that, that hurry damages the soul, because we've become consumers. We become consumers who are controlled by what is coming at us from the outside rather than contributors to what is going on that starts from the inside. And so that's the challenge of changing from the inside so that it affects how we live our lives. The solution to the problem. Now, there are many images of what a follower of Jesus looks like in the Bible. And for some of you, you automatically choose the activist images, you know, the runner, the soldier going into battle. Whereas others of you, you prefer to look at the solitary place to pray, or spending time around a table eating with your friends, or sitting in the presence of Jesus for just a bit longer. But I want to say at the start of this that this isn't a battle between two different lifestyles. It's not a battle between the activist and the contemplative. We mustn't see this as a either-or scenario. It's a both and. And both types of people need to understand what is the solution to the problem. Because the danger is that the activists look at the contemplatives and say to them, why aren't you doing anything? And the runners look at the city and say, why aren't you part of this race? But I don't think that's the solution. I think there's something much better than that. Here's a few things that I think are a bit of a danger to you. The words will come up, I hope, somewhere around here in a moment. The danger is we end up scattered, that our schedule is so full that we don't have time to reflect on our purpose and our priorities. We end up hurried. You know, we're busier than we want to be, but we don't know how to change it. We end up reactive. It seems as if we're never in charge and take control of our schedules. People are running those schedules for us. And finally, I think we can end up exhausted. You know, feeling bed at night and you look back over the day and you think, did I achieve anything today? It was such a busy day. I don't know whether I did what I should have done in the way that I should have done it. And that's the challenge for us, I think. The challenge is, how do we get back control of our time, of our life, of the priorities, of the purpose that we've been called to? What is the solution? How can I grow to become more like Jesus every day? How can I be the follower of Jesus that he longs for me to be? Instead of hurrying behind a tree when something goes wrong, that perhaps all of us can learn to walk in the cool of the day at the Creator's pace. The Japanese author Kosuke Thomas calls the 3-mile-an-hour God. Walk the pace of the Creator. So much to do, still we could grab hold of all that is to in a way that eliminates hurry from our lives. As Tom reminded us last week, it's easy to relinquish control of our life to something or someone else, whether it's the consistent beep of our phones and notifications that we've got switched on, or it's the demands of a boss who wants everything done by yesterday, or the feeling that we should be doing more, that we can't just sit down and do nothing today. I don't think that's God's best. My apologies. Is that better? I don't know how much have you missed. I hope not all of it, but anyway, let's catch up. As Tom showed us last week, it's easy to relinquish control of our lives to something or someone outside of ourselves. It may be the insistent beep of notifications on your phone. It might be the boss who demands everything to be done by yesterday, or it might be just your own personal feeling that you should be doing more. It's sort of ingrained in us. But I think God wants us to start in a different place from all of those things. And that the ruthless elimination of hurry is not a mandate for inactivity. It's not a manifesto for procrastinators. It's a challenge to keep first things first, to grow and develop in our relationship with the Father, first of all, just like Jesus did, who was clear about his identity, who was clear about his mission, and deliberate in his activity. So how could we do that? How can we become those sorts of people that look like Jesus, who did eliminate hurry, but still fulfilled his purpose, his calling on this earth? Well, Eugene Peterson translates Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He has this beautiful phrase. He calls us to the unforced rhythms of the Father's grace. The unforced rhythms of the Father's grace. And perhaps you, like me need to learn to surrender to a place of stillness and security that stops us from submitting to the shouts of our society, that seeks our attention with superficial and often spurious ways, not by trying harder, but by training our soul to find the rest that God calls us to. You know, in John chapter 15, Jesus makes three points. He calls us to remain, he calls us to get connected, and he says, stay attached. Remain in me, connect yourself to the vine, and stay attached to it. And Jesus said that because that was how he lived. That was the solution to the problem of hurry. And it's still as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. And I think we can learn something significant from that. Jesus says that if you make the vine your connection point, then you will bear kingdom fruit. Your life will reflect the beauty of what God has called us to. You'll please the Father above everything else, and you'll help to grow his kingdom and not your own. You'll be seen and known clearly as a follower of Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we had a delivery at our house, and it was a couple of fruit trees, apple trees. Our garden has nothing in it. It's just a plot of grass because of the new house that we moved into. So we thought, what can we do to bring some life and energy to this place? So we thought we'd buy a couple of fruit trees. And so these fruit trees were delivered to us in a cardboard box, and we unwrapped them and we planted them in our garden. But the one piece of advice that I'd heard about fruit trees was that you had to put a stake alongside them and attach the fruit tree to the stake. These fruit trees are only this high at the moment, but the stake is so important to give that tender new tree some stability, the opportunity to grow straight, and then to fulfill its purpose to bear good fruit. We need a stake in the ground in our lives just the same. If we're going to have a hope of growing a stable, secure life that bears fruit for the kingdom of God, we need to attach ourselves to a stake in the ground. And I think that that's what we need if we're going to eliminate hurry from our lives. We need to attach ourselves to something that is going to give us stability and strength and the opportunity to bear fruit as well. For Jesus followers, we could call that a rule of life. We could call it discipline or practices or habits that actually begin to reflect the life of Jesus and give us the opportunity to become all that we know we can become. Strength, stability, and growth. Remaining, staying attached, staying connected to the source of life itself. I mean, Jesus would go alone and pray very often. Jesus would go and eat with others an awful lot. Just read the Gospels. He was often sat at a table eating a meal with people. Jesus would go to the synagogue regularly to slow down and worship. He would fall asleep in a boat on a lake. And he never apologized for it. These were the stakes in the ground. This is the attachment that he had in order to fulfill the mission that the Father had called him to. These practices, habits, disciplines, rules of life, whatever you want to call them, enabled him to be busy without being hurried. It enabled him to be available without being overwhelmed. And he fulfilled the whole mission from a place of supernatural inner strength, unshakable stability, and he produced abundant growth. Is there something we can learn from that? Perhaps this is the solution to the problem of hurry. To remain close enough to the Father, to hear the Father's whisper, to walk at the Father's pace, to get connected regularly, to be filled with the Father's power, to do what he saw the Father doing, to staying attached to fulfill the Father's purposes. I think we have to learn from the one who provides the solution to the problem of hurry. See, Jesus, because he was fully present with the Father, could be fully present to other people as well. As John Mark Comer says in his book, Jesus was a non-anxious presence. I love that phrase. A non-anxious presence to the people that he was with in every situation. And he did it through prayer, through deep relationships with others, through slowing down enough to go at the Creator's pace. And those regular habits were like the stake in the ground to stay attached to remain close to bear fruit that would last. Yeah, if you want to know what God requires of you, if you desire to be effective in serving others, if you long to have the relationship with the Father that Jesus had, then I want to suggest this morning that you and I, we need to be intentional to strap ourselves to the stake in the ground to give us stability and strength so that we can bear fruit that will last. See, some of us, we want the Jesus life without the Jesus lifestyle. And we've got to come to terms with the fact that if we want the Jesus life, then we need to build the Jesus lifestyle. One moment at a time, one habit at a time, one discipline at a time, so that our thoughts and our actions are directed towards him and all that he desires. And then I believe that we will practice what he preaches and become all that he hopes for. Now, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the practices that will help us put our stake in the ground, that we can attach to in order to find that growth. A rule of life, if you like, that will begin to eliminate hurry from our hearts and from our schedules as well. So next week, we're going to look at silence and solitude. The week after, Sabbath. The week after that, simplicity. And the week after that, slowing. And I hope that you'll share this journey with us as we try and build these practices into our lives to help us to become more effective, to bear more fruit, to help others to see Jesus and join in this great mission that he's called us to. But before we jump into those 4 weeks, I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you to begin now, not to wait, but to begin now, to start to build some great habits into your life that will begin to shape your soul towards the Savior. So here's a few for you. They're going to magically appear somewhere here. So first of all, be quiet. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that before you go digital, before you switch the TV on, before you put the radio on in the mornings or whenever it is, just spend a moment to listen to God before listening to Google. Is that okay? Or whichever, however else you listen. Just take a moment to be quiet before God. Stillness. Maybe a prayer, maybe reading your Bible. And I realize your Bible and the prayers may be on your phones, and you know, you can still do that, of course, but take a moment to listen to what God has to say before anybody else has anything to say. Secondly, pause for some gratitude moments. Just spend a moment just offering a few thank yous, remembering the blessings that you have and saying, God, thank you. Yeah, that begins to change our hearts and helps us to pause a little bit longer. Thirdly, exercise. Yeah, for some of us, exercise may just be breathing, you know, but that's fine. Just sit still and listen to your breathing and slow your breathing down a bit more. Become aware of the breath of life, of God's presence in that moment. So just exercise your body a bit. It may be you go for a walk, but try and build that in. Do one thing well. Do you know, do something life-giving and joy-filling, something that you enjoy doing, something that you love doing. Do it. You'll find rest for your soul when you do that. Touch a relationship. Maybe there's one person in your circle of friends or acquaintances who, whenever you call them or speak to them, they fill your life with something more. So rather than connecting with people who sap life out of you, connect with someone who fills you with life. Just one every week will make such a difference. Limit your intake of news. Now, I know that's so tricky at this time because, you know, some of us, we're sat at home perhaps and we're just listening and listening. But limit your intake of news. You know, listen to it in the morning. Listen to it in the evening. But maybe just thin it out a bit during the day. You curate it carefully. There's so much, but just be careful the news that we consume. And then connect to community. Make it a regular habit to meet on Sundays. I'm talking to the converted, of course. Make it a regular habit to meet up a group during the week, whether that's in church or, you know, through our big church read or something else. But connect with a group during the week as well. And I believe some of those things, if we start building in some of those habits, they'll start to change our hurry into that place of stillness that God requires. We'll start to walk at the Creator's pace. Begin to build a rule of life. Begin to attach yourself to that stake in the ground. Connect to the life giver. Attachment to the vine. Remain close to the Father, close enough to hear his whisper. And I think that then we might begin to find the solution to hurry. Do you know what? When I was a young Christian, probably in my late teens, somebody said to me, "It's better to burn out than rust out." And you know what? I tried that. And you know what happened? Yep, I burnt out. And I've met too many burnt out Christians. You know, I think what God requires from us is to attach ourselves to him. Jesus came to bring life, not exhaustion. He came to bring life so that we could bring life to others as well. And I wonder what you need to let go of in order to take hold of what God requires of you today. Sometimes we might have to put down what looks good and purposeful and exciting in order to pick up what is best, what God has to give us in this moment. So will you take up the challenge to realign your life towards Jesus? To learn from him about how to use your time, about the things that you do, the attitude of your heart, your response to others. Begin to find the solution to this hurry sickness that damages our souls. Remain, get connected, and stay attached. He's shown us how to do that, and it starts with our hearts. Let me tell you just a little story before we finish. There were three people working hard on a building site one day, and a stranger walked past and was quite intrigued to see them all doing what they do with a shovel. And he said to them, "So what are you doing?" And the first one said to the stranger, "I'm digging a hole." The second one said to the stranger, "I'm laying foundations for a wall." And the third one said, "I'm building a cathedral." You know, what perspective do you have about what you're doing with your life? You're just digging a hole? Maybe you're building a life for yourself. But what if you're building a life that looks like Jesus? You're building a cathedral that allows the very presence of God to invade you and pervade through you so that others become followers of his as well. This is not a battle between activist and contemplative. It's a battle for our hearts, where those apparent opposites become partners and they dwell together in harmony, and we together can bring beauty into the lives of others and transformation into our world. What are you doing with your life? Are you just digging a hole? Maybe you could build a cathedral, a life that looks like Jesus, that imitates him and lives in a way that honors him. Here's a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 from the Message. "Just make sure you stay alert. Keep close watch over yourselves. Don't forget anything of what you've seen. Don't let your heart wander off. Stay vigilant as long as you live." May you know the closeness and presence of Jesus as you attach yourself to him and as your life bears fruit that will last. Let's pray together. Perhaps for you today, maybe today is just about putting that stake in the ground, of finding that place of connection that says, "This is where I'm going to live my life. I'm going to attach myself to Jesus who will bring me stability, who will bring me strength, who will fill my life with his purposes. And maybe today that's for you. This is the place to start for you today. Maybe for the first time, and you say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to attach myself to you because you gave your life to me. I'm going to remain close to you. Maybe for someone today, it's about starting again. Yeah, you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, but you've become aware that you've drifted away from who he is and what he's called you to. And today's the day to reattach, to get connected again to the very life of Jesus, to come back to that first love of who he is and what he's called you to. And you can do that today. And maybe there's others of you who just today will commit yourself to staying open to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. That you will say, I'm going to stay attached to you whatever happens. Whatever the storms, I'm going to be unshakable because I am attached to you. Whatever the pressures in my life right now to hurry, to the demands of others, my schedules, my own feelings. No, I'm going to stay attached to you, Jesus. And I'm going to allow you to shape my life. To fill my life again. Let's pray. Father, Jesus, help me to walk in the way you walked, to live as you lived, and to follow in your steps. Help me to know your peace and your comfort when life is overwhelming and stressful. As I seek to abide in you, Jesus, would you remain in me and help me to be fruitful for you and bring you glory and worship in all that I do? Jesus, I want to know more of your love, to remain, to stay connected, to be attached. Would you guide me each moment of every day to give you honor and praise in your name, Jesus. Amen.